Turn, if you will, in your Bibles this morning to Isaiah 45. There they are. You know, I keep losing these glasses about as quick as I buy them. But you know what? Walmart does not run out. Isaiah, the 45th chapter, let's look at verse 22. Verse 22. The Word of God says, "Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." Isn't that a simple, just a scripture declaration? Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here. And Lord, now we just ask that your Spirit speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, just fill this place with your word. And Lord, touch our hearts at the point of our needs, for there's all kinds of needs in this building this morning. No two people are alike, and Lord, we are unique. And Lord, I thank you that your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, can speak to our hearts at whatever point that we need to hear this morning. And Lord, the salvation message is just a simple message that even a child can understand it. Look to me, God says. And God, we just thank you this morning as the word goes forth that you will speak. And Lord, someone here might be saved. Someone here might recommit their life to you. Lord, someone here might want to join this fellowship. But whatever decision we need to make, Lord, we agree together that you will speak to our hearts. And God, we give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. If God stood before you today and told you what he wants you to hear, he would say to you, I believe, I want you to be saved. I want you to be saved. Now, that word saved is not a very big word, but yet so many people do not understand how to be saved. You see, or why we even need to be saved. You see, his son was sent on a mission. Jesus Christ, over 2,000 years ago, said he came to seek and to save. Seek and to save those which were lost. The name Jesus means the Lord saves, because the Bible said he would save his people from their sin. Now, we need to understand that we are sinners. That was a beautiful song. I'm just a sinner. I'm saved by the grace of God. God and his Son and the Holy Spirit were in heaven. And he knew that man needed a Savior, and his Son came to earth and died, and he paid the price. You see, Brother Bill touched on it this morning in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were there, and God said, Adam and Eve, you can eat of any tree in the garden but one. Don't mess with it. And they disobeyed. We know they disobeyed, and they went out and ate of that tree. And they disobeyed God. Now, disobedience is sin. When you disobey, you sin. They disobeyed God, and because of that disobedience, all of us are born with a sinful nature. We have it right here in our life. And if we die with that sinful nature still in control, then the Bible says we will perish. We'll go to a place called hell. Now, a lot of people argue with that, and they say, well, God doesn't send people to hell. Well, he doesn't. You choose to go there because you reject the sacrifice that was made on the cross of Calvary. And Jesus came and died, and to be saved means to be set free. Now, I don't know about you, but I was set free from the sin and the life. I'm an old sinner, all right, but I've been saved. I've been sealed, and now I'm a saint because I'm saved by the grace of God in my life. A person who sins is like a person who has that disease in their life. It's a deadly disease. It's a sinful disease. And if you die in it, you will spend an eternity separated from God. But if you will accept Jesus Christ this morning as your Lord and Savior, it's like a pardon from prison. He has set you free. Set you free, not because you've earned it or anything, because of who He is, because of His grace. Someone told me about the boys that were trapped over in Thailand in a cave, and they were about to die, but now I understand they're being released, they're being rescued. That's what being saved is, rescued. We need rescued. We're lost, and we need to be found. Jesus Christ died on the cross to set us free from sin. We need to be rescued from the worldly pleasures out there in life. We need to be rescued from the penalty of sin, and our reward is that heavenly home. Boy, there's all kinds of songs about heaven. We need to be rescued from sin's power. You see, the Bible says if we're in the world, we're under control of the old devil in that sin nature in our life. Well, when we come to Christ, we're rescued. We're set free from that. And one day, when God calls us home, we'll be rescued and set free from the very presence of sin altogether, because the Bible says there's no sin in heaven. Isn't that wonderful to know that one day we won't have to face sin anymore? We won't have to deal with temptation anymore? We won't have to deal with death anymore? We won't have to deal with pain anymore? We don't have to deal with cancer anymore or Alzheimer's or whatever. It's all gone. There's nothing like that in heaven. Jesus says heaven is a perfect place. And oh, we're not perfect people, but we are through the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been set free. And folks, that's what God wants in our life. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you need to be set free. Think about it. You've never accepted Christ, and you need to be set free. Well, I'm going to tell you how. The pronouncement of guilt first. You know, there's always good news and bad news. If I could remember the little story, I would tell you the good news and bad news. But I can't remember it, so I don't want to mess it up. But it's just funny. You know, it's good news and bad news. And I'll have to get that and bring it to you one day and share it with you. But the first news that he says is bad news. God says, be ye saved. Look to me and be ye saved. You see, we're in trouble, isn't it? That's bad news. We're in trouble because of sin. We need to be saved. Because we're lost. Because we have shameful habits. Because we have bad attitudes. You got a bad attitude? A lot of times we do, don't we? We got shameful habits. Oh man, let me tell you something. We have a world full of shameful habits today. Sin is a universal problem. It's not just a gun barrel problem. It's not just my problem. It's all of our problems, see? It's a universal problem. It goes all the way around the world. It has reached every corner of the earth. Sin is a depravity, and it shows its awful depths in our society today. All you have to do is look outside or look inside. Just a moment, turn on the news, and it's bad news. You know, the only good news today is out of the Bible. You look at the television, it's depressing. Man, I don't even want to watch the news anymore. I hardly ever turn it on, news anymore, because every time I turn it on, it's bad news, it's bad news, it's bad news. I want to listen to a little good news. So in the Bible, you find the good news of the gospel. It's not depressing. It's uplifting. It's strengthening. You see, sin is viewed as a defiance against God. All sin is of the devil, and it's defying the things of God. You know, God says, I want you to do this and do this. And the devil says, no, I want you to do this. And we find that our lives are many times caught up in sin. You know, somebody said, well, preacher, how can you sin if you just don't talk to anybody? Well, you're disobeying God right there. Because God says, go tell about the good news. And I believe every time we pass up opportunities, we disobey God. Or every time we sit by and let somebody else die in their lostness, we're missing opportunities. Or let me say it this way. You sit there and you watch television. And they advertise that all that old stuff they throw out there. Let me tell you something. Our mind is being filled with bad things. Don't tell me it's not. It's there. You know, the mind is a beautiful thing when it's focused on beautiful things of God. But when it's focused on bad things, it brings out the bad in people. Sin is viewed as a departure. We've wandered away from God. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us have departed. Now, however you define sin, the Word of God says it's deadly, and the Word of God says it's dangerous. And our Lord promises He will not spare the guilty. Now, you know, when I talk about sin, somebody always says, well, you know, preacher, God loves everybody. And eventually He's going to take us all to heaven. That's not right. Let me tell you something. God does love everybody. But He can't love their sin. You see, God loves the sinner, but He hates the sin. And if you as a sinner reject God, then you're not willing to trust your life to God. You're going to hell. Not because God sent you there, but because you chose to go there. So, don't tell me that everybody's going to heaven. They're not. If everybody was going to go to heaven, why would we need churches? If everybody was going to go to heaven, why would Jesus come and die on the cross? You see, it just don't figure. God says the only way is through Him. He also says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. In other words, we tell people about Jesus Christ that it's dangerous. There's something dangerous out there. The end will bring suffering. I think about old Samson. You know, sin, he played around with sin so much. And sin always leads to a blindness. He was blind. There was a famous sermon, Sin Blinds You, and it ended up grinding you into the ground. Folks, let me tell you, it ruins your life. No matter what it is, sin ruins your life. You cannot play around with sin any more than you can play around with fire. Folks, you're going to get burned. I think of that young man that always played with those wild animals. Steve was his name. You know, he played wild animals. He did dangerous things with them. And finally, it caught up with him, didn't it? And he died by a stingray. You know, sin catches up with us in our life. And the earth, the Bible says, will be consumed with fire, and you along with it, if you're not saved. Now, boy, that's bad news, isn't it? That's bad news. And then it says judgment is also coming. Judgment is also coming. We live in a day where we like to be comfortable. We like our comfortable sins. We're comfortable sinners. A lot of times we sin and we sit in our comfortable church pews, listening to comfortable preaching. Man, I hope I don't comfort you into eternity lost. You hear that? I'm not here to comfort you. I'm here to preach the Word of God, that it will stir your heart, that it will make you realize, I don't want to go to hell. I want to change my ways. I want to live for God. You know, and a lot of times we just tell you how to be more comfortable. That's not no good. Preach the Word in season, out of season. We need more John the Baptist. Boy, he came preaching from fire and brimstone. He came preaching, you know, repent or perish. You can't have it both ways. Either you repent of your sin or you perish. You know, if I go to a doctor and he tells me that I've got a disease, I don't get mad at him, do I? No, I say, thank you, doctor, for letting me know what's wrong with me. You know what? God is the great physician. And he diagnosed us with sin. And he says, this is what sin's going to do. And then he provided a cure for that sin with his own precious son dying on the cross. And we get mad at him and say, I don't want that cured. I want to do my own thing. But God says, look at the Word again. Look to me and be saved. Why do we need to be saved? Because we're sinners by birth. We have that sinful nature, and there's a judgment coming. And if we're not saved by looking to God, we're going to perish for all eternity. Now, that word perish doesn't mean that we're going to be annihilated. Let me tell you what hell is. It's an awful, wicked place. I can't even describe it. It's so bad. Somebody said, well, at least I won't be there alone. Yes, you will. You'll be there and out of darkness. And I believe all you'll hear is the screams of other people, but I don't believe you'll be in contact with them. You know, there's nothing being so alone and lost in misery and torment and screaming and hot and fire. The rich man cried out, Lord, I'm in torment in this place. Would you send just a drop of water? And he said, I can't do it. You made your choice. You see, that's a judgment's coming. And God says, look to me and be saved because you are lost. And then he gives us a provision. What is it, a provision? Look unto me, for I am God and there is no other. You know what? If we lift our faces towards heaven, he will hear us and save us. All the bad, we're bad. But God can save us from our sins. I used to wonder, can God really save me? And he did. He changed my life around. You know, I had an old uncle. He's dead and gone now. And he wouldn't mind me sharing this because he got saved. And I used to wonder, man, if he can save him, he'll save anybody. Uncle Raymond was, his children are still living, but, you know, Uncle Raymond was a alcoholic. He was an alcoholic. That alcohol drove him from his family, drove him from his wife, kept him, and he lived a lone life back years ago. They didn't have the things we had, but years ago, he lived in a sawmill, and he cut lumber, and he cut timber, and that was part of our family's life, and that's where he spent his time, drinking and at the lumber yard in a sawmill out in the woods. That's where we found him many a time, laying on an old cot, drunk. They would call and say, Janie, your uncle's down here, and he's got pneumonia, and he's in bad shape. Well, my father would load up the pickup, and he would head to wherever he might be at that time, and he would pick him up, and he would bring him home. They'd put him in the hospital, dry him out, get him out of the pneumonia, whatever he might have, and send him back to his sister's house with my grandmother. And Grandma would pray for him, pray for Raymond, her brother, over and over and over. She would pray for Raymond, God move in his life, change him. Raymond was up in the years. I wondered, can anything save Uncle Raymond? You know, he was just a vile old fella. But you know what? He was watching television one morning. I don't agree with everything he's TV evangelist, but I hate to even mention who he's watching. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, let's put it that way, he realized he was lost. And folks, you got to realize you're lost before you're going to get saved. Amen? Some of you are comfortable the way you are, and you say, oh, I'm a good person. Good people go to hell. You don't have to be an alcoholic. You don't have to be an abuser, or you don't have to do anything like that. Good people die and go to hell simply because they're lost. But he saw, I need that in my life. And he got out on his knees, he said, before the television, and he prayed the prayer and said, Lord, I want you to come into my life. Now, his old buddy was with him. He was an alcoholic, too. And he said, what happened to Raymond? That morning, he asked Christ to give him his life. And you know what? He won't drink anymore. It changed him completely. Oh, he was so happy in Jesus. You know, my grandmother prayed it for years for him. He came to know Jesus, and he changed his life, and then he died. Now, he wasted his life, really, but he has all eternity now to live because in the last year, he realized that he needed to be saved. I'm so glad my grandmother prayed for him all those years because without somebody praying for him, he would have never been saved. You know, that's what it takes. It takes people praying for those who are lost and telling them about God's great provision. Salvation is offered through Jesus Christ. God came to man. Can you believe that? The Heavenly Father sent His Son to earth. He came to us. We don't come to Him. He came to us. You see, we do not knock on heaven's door and say, Lord, I want to be saved. No, He knocks on our heart's door through the Word of God, through the preaching of the gospel, through the singing of the gospel. The Holy Spirit shows us that we need a Savior, and through that, the grace of salvation is given when we ask Christ to come into our heart. Look to me. That's about as simple as it gets, isn't it? Look to me. God says, and be saved. There is no other. God desires that we be saved today. He wants us to be saved today, but He's not going to force you, you see. He wants you to choose Him. Judgment is not desired. He doesn't want you to spend an eternity lost in a place called hell. You see, God designed that gift of salvation, and Jesus, the precious Lamb of God, slain, the Bible says, before the very foundations of the world, was willing to come and die on the cross and pay the price. You see, somebody had to pay, and man was not good enough. We cannot live good enough. You cannot live good enough. I have people all the time say, well, I'm a good person, preacher. I don't care. You cannot live good enough to get to heaven. You've got to come. Jesus says, I am the way. There is no other. And that being good is one of the other ways. The world will tell you that. Oh, if you live a good life, you'll get to go to heaven when you die. No, you won't. That's a lie from the devil himself. What a day it must have been when the Son of God said, Father, I will accept the cross. I will go and pay the price that man might live. And Jesus came as Savior, and He showed Himself as Savior. When He preached, oh, He said, the Son of Man must suffer many things. and go to the cross. And he did exactly that. He was willing to suffer for our sake. Was it Sunday before last, or what, we had the bread? When he broke that bread with his disciples, he said, "This represents my body, which is broken for you." And then he took that cup and he said, "This represents my blood, which was spilt for you." On Calvary's Hill, man, he died in our place. And he said, "It is finished." Salvation plan. And you can't add to something that's finished. He did it all. Now, I tell you what, there's a lot of people who want to add stuff to that. And I say, you can't add stuff to that. It's God's way or no way. And the Bible says after he died, on the third day he arose and he has victory over death. And now he's ascended to his Father's right hand. And one day we will overcome death in Christ. We have to be in Christ. Because he overcame, we too shall overcome. Here's our refuge. Here is our cure. Here is our hope. Look to me. Here is the door of salvation. It's God. Accept him as your Lord and Savior, and he will wash you clean, and you'll be forgiven. Somebody said one day, "Preacher, what if I am forgiven and then I sin again?" Well, let me tell you something. He says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us all unrighteousness. Our sins past, they were done away with when Christ forgave you. Our sins present right now, they're done away with because Christ paid the price. Our sins in the future are paid for in the blood of Christ. Once and for all, he died for you. You accept him, you look to him, and you will be forgiven. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but man, let me tell you something. Every time you sin, you need to get on your knees and you need to confess that because God wants you to confess it because sin separates you. It ruins your joy of a relationship. You see? It doesn't mean you're no longer God's child. It just means that the relationship, like David said, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation." I've lost that joy, and a lot of people lose that joy because they get out into the world, and the world pulls them down. It doesn't mean they lose their salvation, but the world makes them lose the joy of going to church, the joy of worshiping God, the joy of knowing that I'm saved and I can't be separated from God. Man, I know that I'm saved. Grace is seen in salvation. Is so simple. Man, I've watched over the years that the devil is having a field day in getting the church to comply with just being comfortable and doing a lot of other things, but not really getting right with God. I believe one reason we hasn't had revival in our churches is because we go there to play games today with God. And I'm not talking about the games they're going to play. I'm talking about we say we want Christ to send revival, and yet we're not willing to pay the price for revival. You see? We say, "Oh, Lord, I want you to bless my life. Lord, I want you to do this in my life. But wait a minute, Lord, I got something else I got to do Sunday night, so I'm not going to come back." Oh, that hurt, didn't it? It should. It should. "Well, Lord, I want revival in my life. I want my children saved. But, Lord, don't ask me to go on Wednesday night. That's just too much." That hurts too, don't it? I look around at our churches. I talked to a pastor the other day, and he said, "Oh, we cut out Sunday night service." I said, "You cut it out?" "Yeah, you know, it costs too much to run the air conditioning for such few little people that were coming anymore." Lo and behold, if it's just me and God, we're going to be here. "Well, preacher, we can worship at home just as good as we can." But you won't, will you? "Well, preacher, I wanted to go fishing, and, you know, I believe we can worship out on the lake." But you don't. I've been out there on Sunday sometimes. Before I was saved, I hadn't been out there on Sunday while I was saved, but you know, before I was saved, I know you don't worship God all the time on the lake, just like in the golf course. You know, you hit a bad shot and you might say something that's not pleasing to God. I don't do that, but I know some that do. I probably play with a few of them. You know what? We need to be in church. It's in church where we grow. It's in church where we learn that God loves sinners, but He doesn't love their sin. And our theology today and what our people are believing, man, some of it is not any good. And I have people right here. Matter of fact, you know, some tell me, you know, well, preacher, God loves everybody. And, you know, well, He does love everybody. But not everybody's going to heaven. Well, He says, look to Him and be saved. Now, that's simple, isn't it? These little kids up here on the front, let me tell you something. You say, well, preacher, I don't know if they understand or not. You know what? They understand a whole lot more than you give them credit for. And besides, all they have to do is look to Him and say, I want Jesus Christ in my life. And the rest of it's up to God. He'll keep working with them. You as parents, you keep bringing them. That's the key. You keep loving them. You live for them, Christ, in front of them. You don't go home and start hollering at your wife and cussing at your wife and doing something completely different. No, you're sending mixed messages, see? And I wonder if you're saved if you're doing that. But you see, salvation is simple. I didn't say it was cheap, but it is simple. Look to Me and be saved. Now, I had a guy one day, he's my brother-in-law now. He said, Booney, when I can understand that Bible, I might get saved. And I said, Charles, you'll never understand the Bible. You get saved just like you are, and God will change your life. And you know what? He's saved today. And He will agree with you. God changed his life. Folks, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, would you just look to God this morning? Say, Lord, I realize in my life I'm a sinner and I need your salvation. It's just that simple. I'm a sinner. I need your salvation. Would you come into my heart? I trust you for it. And He will come in. He'll seal you with His Spirit. And the Spirit of God will live inside of you. And then when you do something wrong, it's going to bother you until you get it right and quit doing that. You see, that's where repentance is. The word repent means to turn around. Are you willing to say, God, I'm tired of going the direction I'm going. I want to come to You. Turn your life around. You're saved and you start growing as you walk back towards God. You grow and you grow and you grow and you grow. And one day, death will come and you'll go spend eternity with God. Not because of something you did, because you chose to repent and live for Christ. Let Him pay the sacrifice. You see, we can't do it ourselves. He said, I am God, and there is no other. If you've never accepted Christ, I'm going to ask you in a moment. I don't care who you are, how old you are, how young you are. If you want Christ to come into your life, simply by faith, I'm trusting Him, make your way down to the altar. And by doing that, you're saying, "Preacher, I'm trusting Christ this morning. I want him to come into my life." And you're doing it in front of all these people, letting them know that you're giving your life to Christ. They're going to pray for you. They're going to love you. They're going to lift you up. They'll be your real friends in Christ Jesus. And you'll see a change in your life if you really meant that. Now, don't just do it and think, "Man, I can come down here and say I love Christ, and I go out here and won't have no real problems." Let me tell you something. You're going to have problems. They're still going to be there. Christians are not immune to problems. But you'll have Christ with you to help you face those problems. You see? Don't let somebody tell you, "Oh, you become a Christian, you won't ever get sick or anything like that. You won't ever have no problems." Oh, man, I've been sick. I've been had problems ever since I have trusted Christ. But let me tell you something. He gets sweeter every day. Let me give you a short testimony, and then I'll quit. I'm having a lot of, we're at a time where it's hard to put our mother, she's losing her mind, and boy, when you have something like that and you have to make a decision to move her out of a home, put her in a nursing home, it's something that I pray for everybody that does that, because I know we all go through it just about it. There's come that time in our life, but yesterday morning I was over at the farm and I needed to go talk to Mother. I went down there to talk to her, and we went down there to try to find a place for her to stay, because she's got where she can't stay by herself anymore. And I said, "Lord, I don't know how to talk to her, especially if she's not in her right mind." A few weeks ago, she run me out of the house. Then she whipped my other brother with a spoon. And I said, "Lord, I can't talk to her like that. Make her have a sound mind so at least I can talk to her." I called my sister that morning. I said, "Sis, I'm going to be there at 8:30. Would you be there?" She said, "Yeah, I'll come over at 8:30. We need to sit down and talk." Well, I got there at 8 o'clock because I'm always early. When I said 8:30, I meant 8. But I got there and knocked on the door, and the door was open. I walked in, and she's laying on the couch. And she's hurting. And I walked over and said, "Mom, you hurting?" She can't talk anymore and make sense what she wants to say. But I said, "Mom, you hurting?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Mom, you've been laying there on the couch how long?" I said, "All night." I said, "Mom, that ain't good. You need some care. You need somebody that knows you're sick." I said, "Would you mind if I went and found a place, a home for you that you could move into and stay with some people that watch over you?" She said, "Go ahead." God answered that prayer. She had a sound mind that morning. My sister walked in, and I said, "Sis, me and you going to look for a place to put Mother. She wants that." She said, "Mom, you want that?" We found a place. Now we all got to do that paperwork and all of that and get all that figured out. But you know what? God is like that. Those are troubled times that we have as Christians. You have mothers and fathers that have gone through that. You know what? That's a big step. But I didn't have to face that alone. Matter of fact, I said, "Lord, you said in your word, cast everything upon you." And I said, "This is your problem, Lord. I'm giving it to you. Only you can do it." Man, he took care of it right like that. Isn't that wonderful? To have a God that listens to everything you do. I'm so glad I came to trust him. You can too. All you have to do is step up and come down and say, "Listen, I'm a sinner, but I want to be saved by the grace of God." He'll change your life. Would you do that this morning? If you're looking for a church home, this is the place you come. Would you just come and share that we'd like to join? Or if you're a Christian and you're a member of this church and you said, "Man, I hadn't been what I should be," come down and get on your knees before God and say, "Lord, today I'm recommitting myself to you. 100%. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your love, watch, care over us. We thank you, Lord, that you're involved in our lives. You just didn't set us out here and save us and say, "Okay, fight for yourself." No, you said you want to hear from your children. You want them to pray to you. And God, through all the troubles that we have in life, I am so thankful that you're the one that we can turn to. Lord, make us aware of your presence every day. And if there's someone here this morning that's not sure they're going to heaven, then they need to get right today. Give them the strength just to step out. Don't listen to the devil because he's saying, "No, don't do it. Don't do it. Just step out by faith and come." In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.